I'm Jen Shaw.
I'm Kate O'Reilly. You're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff. This week, we take a deep dive into what I like to call zero to outrage.
Did you come up with that term?
You know what? I don't like to take credit for things, but yes, I did.
That's amazing.
Unless it was like subconsciously planted.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, you know exactly what that means. Zero to outrage. Just, it's very clear, concise.
Yeah. And I think the first time I tweeted about it a couple weeks ago, I just was like, I had read through my Twitter feed. After I was winding down for the night and was just like, sigh. Just heavy sigh, because I worry that people have forgotten that they don't need to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can just like scroll by and not get involved in a situation.
Yep.
I'm not saying that's the right thing to do all the time, but it seems like it's out of control a little bit. And I have a pretty good grasp on following and unfollowing, and I do not feel bad about unfollowing if it's just like two or three things in a row that are negative or into this
on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, anywhere. Mm-hmm. This like kind
in
of
real life.
Real. I just stop following people. Like if I'm walking with a street in the street with someone, like, I'm just,
no, thank you, sir. Good day to you.
I just get in the nearest car and drive away.
Yeah. Car to go is handy that way.
So I said, I've grown really tired of the zero to outrage as a lifestyle choice. And then, you know, I always regret anything that is opinionated, because I feel like it invites like ripples into your life. And that's something you're either ready for or not.
Yeah.
But I said, and then after that, I said, kindly grab a hobby on your way out the door.
There you go.
Because I just feel like if you feel like you have to comment on everything or are enraged by every single situation, then you don't have enough in your filling your life that's real.
Because it's all via social media that you're doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the internet.
Agreed. Yep.
Yeah. Agreed. Just like the access we have to things is greater than ever, right? But that doesn't mean that we have to accept it all into our beings and lives and opinion streams.
There was in the comedy world that I think opens the door for lots of interesting opinions on things, and sometimes people just like to push the envelope for no particular reason than other just to push the envelope. And this past week somebody had posted on Facebook about how the Newtown is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I sound like an idiot. We got to cut that out. It's the school shootings.
Mm-hmm.
That they weren't real. It was a government cover-up. That they were doing, you know, they wanted to test something and they weren't real. And it was this whole conspiracy theory about how all those innocent children, that's exactly right, how all these innocent children didn't really die. And I was just like, I do not understand why, you know, I think for every situation that happens on Earth, there's a conspiracy theory about it and whatever, that's fine. And the people who choose to believe in those things, I feel sad for them, okay? But I also cannot imagine, you know, going to the homes of these parents who lost their children or family members or, you know, whomever, and try to say to their face that these are things that didn't happen and the government is covering up. Like, so that I witnessed firsthand, like the zero to outrage there. And I felt, you know what? Zero to outrage right here, warranted. This is a ridiculous.
Yeah, that's real.
This is a ridiculous concept. And but on the flip side, I feel like the person who posted that did so just to create that. And it's like, what does that do? What does this do for any of us?
Right.
You're not going to change anyone's mind by trying to assume that this was a conspiracy deal by the government.
Yeah. I feel like maybe some comedians feel like, you know, they get used to pushing the envelope and trying to push it with humor.
But there's nothing funny about that.
Right. But they get used to the model.
Yes.
Or the reaction negative or positive, maybe. Yeah.
And the attention.
I guess that is a silly thing alone. To say even yes. for comedians yeah. because that's, I think that's a human yep. trait, honestly.
Yep.
But because you brought it up that way, I thought, you know, it might be. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are, I operate from a place of like, you know, is it helpful?
Exactly.
Is it helpful in a way that, not just helpful inherently, but is it helpful in a way like, you know what, we really need a laugh right now.
Yeah.
Will it make someone laugh? Will it not be helpful? Will
innocent,
it be
innocent dead children? Like that is, there's nothing hilarious about that. I don't care.
Right. That is probably where the saying, it's not funny. Probably where the saying is nothing sacred come from, like something like that.
Yeah.
Like there has to be some line of things that people will joke about or call a conspiracy. We talked about conspiracies a little before.
Yeah, we did.
So I think that it kind of hit a tipping point this week with the New York Times article about Thanksgiving staples and the grape salad incident of 2014. And it's so funny because my grandmommy made the grape salad, and there was people like in our community saying, oh yeah, my grandma made that, my grandma in Hibbing, my grandma in whatever. But it was the biggest ridiculous zero to outrage moment I've ever seen. I just think, just go to your Thanksgiving and make your stuff that you right. make. Like, I don't know why people were so affected by what the New York Times thought about us.
But I feel like people also get really affected by duck, duck, gray duck, and duck, duck, goose.
It must be a really big part of their identity.
Yeah.
But
I grew up with the goose. So I was like, gray duck is too many words.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it pretty fascinating.
Grape salad. I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that sounds, I've never had it. Okay. But if someone was like, would you like some grape salad? I would probably say, thank you, no, thank you. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like grape salad, just as those two words together, does not sound like a thing that I want to eat. I'm sure it's tasty. But like, if we're not going to be at Thanksgiving, like I'd be like, mashed potatoes, yes, please.
Yes.
Stuffing, yes, please.
Me too.
I'll take some cranberry and some, you know, like green bean casserole or something. But grape salad, I'm probably going to.
Maybe it just comes from an inherent need to like be a part of something or fit in or feel like you're heard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but it was
grape salad, man.
Funny to watch.
Why? Yeah. Why is it? Because, well, what were the other dishes? Didn't other states feel
they did
like their dishes weren't represented correctly? Because I feel like if we're going to do a dish here, it would have to be some kind of hot dish or something.
Yeah, like Midwest insecurity much though. Like, I mean, yes, we totally.
We it's just, like, there's a war happening, people.
And then people were offering like alternatives and maybe this, maybe mayo, not pecans, maybe walnuts. And I thought these are people that I interact with on a daily basis. And I just was like,
contributing members to society.
You guys, it's just make your stuff. And, you know, I'm guessing that it was, and I said as much online somewhere, that it's mostly an editorial choice, which things to pick.
Right.
Because you don't want to have 50 recipes for sweet potatoes.
Oh my God.
Right. Like at anything.
Anybody can eat sweet potatoes. You can eat sweet potatoes in California. You could eat sweet potatoes in Maine.
Like, we never made it. My mom didn't make it. I've never made it.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
it's a thing. I'm just saying there were people that were like, oh my gosh, yes.
Right.
But you can't have 50. So at any rate, New York Times, they're a bunch of great editors.
Mm-hmm.
Like they know how to put a paper together.
But didn't the guy, wasn't there, they felt the flack though? I mean, I didn't read the follow up. I think that, I saw a headline somewhere that they're like, oh, shit, people are real upset about this.
Yeah, but I mean,
who cares?
Right. That's what I hope. I hope that somebody is sitting
at
their desk.
I'm going to not subscribe to the New York Times, which I already don't subscribe to.
Right. It's not even delivered outside of downtown Minneapolis city limits.
Yep.
It's not even delivered here. So I don't know. I just thought it was so weird and so ridiculous.
That is hilarious. Also, it is Thanksgiving this week, though.
It is Thanksgiving.
Are you going to make grape salad, though?
I'm not going to make grape. I've never made it. I wasn't even defending their choice. I just was like,
who do you think the Minnesota heiress is, though?
I don't know. Somebody said me. Oh, you said me. Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was funny. I have no idea.
Who's a Minnesota heiress? I mean, I can't think of anybody that would be, like, considered.
Oh, like a Land O'Lakes or Cargill. Maybe one of the Cargills.
Or like a Polad.
Yeah. Although, they're not, like, or I mean, like I'm a Dayton. Old school. Yeah, maybe a Dayton.
Or like a
Gunshein.
Yeah. They died in that mansion.
A Duluth family member. How did they get grapes in
Duluth? Gunshein Mansion, there's murders.
Oh my gosh.
Now we're changing it. Okay.
We are. So I'm just thinking, I know there's been there are a lot of good reasons to be outraged.
Yeah.
That sounds so weird to say, but there are reasons, but it's like, put your money where your mouth is. Mm-hmm. Make a real contribution. I think John Moe kind of got to the point on Wits, which I haven't gone to lately, but I went to in the first couple seasons, like online contributions. It's literally yes. The least you can do.
Oh,
to like
Facebook activism.
Facebook activism, right? And
I love that. Like when people used to change their profile picture to like the your favorite cartoon character to support breast cancer.
Oh my God, it was.
You don't remember this?
So weird.
I'm like, why don't you just make a donation? Like,
right.
What is this doing? I can't.
Right. Vote with your wallet, vote with your feet.
Yeah.
You need to, I mean, be the number one thing you can do if you want to make change is raise or be kind to your people.
Right.
Raise good people, be kind to your people, show them what real love looks like.
Right.
Mentor, be part of like a Boys and Girls Club of America thing. Be part of who's coming up next.
Right.
There's very little chance that you're going to change the people that are the same age of you. And there's no chance you're going to change the minds of the people that are older than you.
Yeah.
I mean, minuscule.
That's great. I don't know if we talked about this on here or if I, because in my head, everything just runs together in one day. So like the 37 years of life I've had previously, it's packaged together right here in this little nice box. So I don't know if we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
So if we do, we can cut this out. But I was on the board for NARAL, Pro-Choice Minnesota, for a while.
Yeah.
And I had a family member who really disagreed with that choice. Did we talk about this?
No, I don't think so.
And she's, you know, maybe 15 years older than me. She's not that much older than me. But, you know, I would post periodically on Facebook about events or whatever that we were doing with NARAL, Pro-Choice Minnesota. Like the 5K or whatever. Like, come on, support. Care about women.
An incredibly important organization.
Very important. Doing lots of great work. But, you know, come out if this women's reproductive rights are important to you. And she would comment on these posts about how, you know, she's pretty sure my mom is thankful that she had me. Oh, like she posted, there was like a propaganda video that you can find on the internet about how abortion is basically like genocide and, you know, just ridiculous. And so like I tolerated it for a while. And then, you know, and I would always comment back and say things like, yo, well, I didn't use that word, but, you know, it was more like, hey, thanks for your opinion. I appreciate and respect that you feel the way that you do. But like, I work really hard and I research my opinions very much. And like, I'm fully confident in standing where I stand. So, you know, while you're free and entitled to have your own opinion, I don't really think this is a place to discuss it. So, and she just kept doing it. And so finally, I had to actually unfriend her on Facebook. And it's like a, you know, a first cousin once removed
kind
of person I've known my whole life. And I sent her a Facebook message afterwards and I said, you know what? I'm sorry that I had to remove you from my Facebook friends, but I just don't think this is the great way for us to communicate. And
you know, it's not real. I mean, it's not, you can be Facebook friends and still be real life friends with someone.
I mean, said, you have your feelings and opinions and I fully respect that. But I also have mine and all, and I know that I won't change your opinion just like you won't change mine either. So let's just respect that equally. And hey, I'll see you in the wedding. See you at the wedding in a couple weeks.
I love it. So. I think that if you have a completely alternate opinion from someone,
yeah, it's
Facebook is not at all the place to put it. Like, if you have an alternating opinion from someone, put it on your own page.
Right.
That's what it's for.
Not on other people's.
Not like, a comment just... on someone else's if it's an opposite. Like, I don't care if that is a popular opinion or not. Yeah. I think it is so rude to, especially if someone seems excited or if they put some sort of effort or work into something, to completely disagree with them or come out with facts on the opposite side of that on their page.
Right.
Is it okay to do in person? For sure. As long as it's a situation where, you know, you're like engaging or just having a conversation. Is it okay to do? I don't even know. Otherwise, probably, but I just feel like it's
a lot easier to say awful things when you're hiding behind a keyboard than it is to say those things to someone's face.
Right. Like, I think that's a really good point, Jen. I think it's such a great point to think, would I say this out loud at a cocktail party?
Right.
I mean, I shouldn't even say cocktail party because I don't probably even go would, to them.
But like the average person, maybe. Just kidding.
No, well, no, I think that because you do what you do, it's
I'd be like, it's really nice to meet you. But then in my head, I'd be thinking, I hate you. Just kidding. No, I wouldn't.
No, I'm outraged by that, actually. So I think that good people can say, I think this is another side of it, is that good people can say shitty things and it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take away all the good things they've said and done before that moment. I've said shitty things and I don't want that to take away the stuff that I've done before. I mean, that's just not fair.
Yeah. Although, and yes, agree with you. And I think sometimes for me, like being in comedy too, this comes up because it's like you have to have an opinion and a viewpoint on like everything. And in Facebook, to me, I don't really often write poignant things there or like anything really personal even. But like in the last few weeks, there's just been so many things to have feelings about. And especially if it's, you know, I'm a woman and in comedy and in the workplace and like I feel like you're just bombarded constantly with like negative things around those particular subjects, like the catcalling that we've talked about before. Like I lost my shit on someone's Facebook feed a few weeks ago about that, and because I was just like, I can't justify, like I cannot sit here and watch you men, handful of men, not all men, justify these actions by trying to put it on us. Like, it's not,
that's a good point.
And I had to say something because I just was like, I feel like I was partially part of the problem if I didn't.
You know? Like, no, like, you're right.
Like
you're
I had, and I, but I could have been more tactful in the way that I said it. And maybe was like caps lock.
Right. There are exceptions to every rule.
Yeah. And so I was like,
make sure that you're thinking about that.
Yeah.
Before
and,
like,
this. And we talked about this on the last podcast, but I like, that's an example that comes to mind where I was like regulators mount up. I was like, let's do this, you know, because I actually got a bunch of messages from people about that because they were like, whoa, because that's not a thing that I do on a regular, you know, but I had my fill.
You had to neutralize it. Mm-hmm. You had to sort of step in and
say, to get it out.
I think I've got this. I think I've got a good thing to say.
And but I still feel bad about it because I'm a woman and an overall nice person.
Don't.
But you know, I mean, your goal is never to make people feel like shit. I just wish everyone else in the population would operate under that same umbrella.
Right.
You know, your goal is not to make people feel like shit, but I think a lot of people, it is sometimes.
That's true. I think you're right. And I guess I'm very naive in that. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either. But there's a lot of insecure people in the world. And
well, people that intervene where it's not.
It's like, you know, why do you even have to have an opinion?
Just walk away. Yeah. Scroll on by. So I think that's a good point to say, like, know when to intervene, when you think you're going to be part of the problem if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But also know when to just hide stuff, scroll by, and do not get involved. Mm-hmm. Because you can't interject all the time. You can't do that. You'll be exhausted.
Right.
So I feel like that's a totally valid point. And I had something come up recently where I saw that a group of people who had led and given a lot to an organization I'm involved with were kind of being like bullied by one person.
Are you serious?
Right. Like one of those things where they bring something up and like you just think, oh, I always trusted these leaders. And it's a benign thing. So it's not like a, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Money handling right. or something like that. But something serious. But I just, I stepped in right away and I just said, hey, if you don't trust them, then you need to make sure that you become a part of the leadership. You also need to respect the fact that we've been working on this for 6 or 8 weeks. So you can't just step in and squash it or think that you can. So I get that. I get that. But I think it's more like the ridiculous interjections that are like, I support this person for president. And the person comments and says, this is why I support my person. No, that's why, that's what belongs on your page.
Right.
You know, that kind of completely out of the
God,
blue.
God, politics really is a perfect example of this. Because I always want to be like, yo, do you really think like posting this article about like people abusing welfare is going to make me change my political views? Because let's flip that coin for a second.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure there's some real 1%ers that are abusing corporate tax breaks and, you know, a whole lot of other stuff. So if you really want to play that game, then let's look at both sides of it, because this is a joke.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good conclusion to draw, is that we need to be more aware of both sides all the time and keep ourselves.
But these are extremes, you right. know? It's like the majority of things are in the middle. You want to point out these crazy end blocks
yep.
on each side of it? Great.
You better at least know some of the other side of it.
Yeah.
Because that makes you a credible, you know, source or right. a credible interjector.
Speaking of credible sources, I just read something about Sarah Palin having a dumb quote again. What was it?
Oh, yeah.
About something about the ocean.
She said she's going to take a boat to Mexico.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just had to bring that up.
Oh, man.
When you said credible sources, that was the first thing that came to mind. Speaking of...
Well, Sarah Palin, she was at...
Yeah. So she made a video this, like, last week or something, a couple weeks ago. Happy birthday, Billy Graham. And it seriously is the most ridiculous video I've ever seen. It has 3,740 shares and 41,851 people liked it. I could only get through about the first minute, but she just is the biggest idiot in this video. So I don't even know like what the last 5 minutes of it were, because I couldn't watch it. But I sometimes just want to check in with her and see if she's like come back to earth at all a little bit. She hasn't. That's
right.
The conclusion I have.
I come at it because admittedly irritating as far as fairness goes, and I think about like are her kids, like are her supporters, do they love this video? Do they think she is grounded, fair, sane, sweet? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I haven't seen it, but I have to watch it now. Oh my God.
It's a train wreck.
Well, just the Mexico comment, I just think,
take a boat to Mexico. I mean, honestly, are you dumb?
I just feel like people in leadership positions and are in the U.S. government should have a better grasp in geography than I do.
Did you ever watch that movie?
I don't know.
That HBO movie with where Julianne Moore played her?
No, I didn't. I think I was coming off the election
when
that came out.
Too much.
And I couldn't. I was already dealing daily with Michelle Bachmann, and so I couldn't also deal with Sarah Palin. I think you get one or the other. And I
well,
had
that was
Bachmann
an unattractive laugh I just had right there. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Nicole Weiler, our one listener.
Oh, Nicole Weiler is our best fan.
Shout out
to Nicole.
Yeah, I love that name.
Me too.
It's got Sarah Palin. Yeah,
I know. Well, and so that's the opposite, is that I'm trying not to be outraged about Sarah Palin on a daily basis.
What happened to Michelle Bachmann, though? She's still, what's her deal? What's she doing?
Well, she just ended her term.
Right.
So I don't know. She's probably like sleeping a lot. And I just want to reiterate that you can stay out of things. No one will think anything of it if you stay out of it, instead of being A, outraged, or B, just generally opinionated. You can just decide what you value, be outraged by things that really, truly outrage you, and just quiet down about the rest.
Agreed.
I don't know. It's just too much. It's taking up too much of our time. And I don't know. And maybe the mom in me just wants better.
No, I think you're just like in a better mental place than really too, because like all this energy that you have, I know people make fun of me for this and I think of specific people in my head to be not named, but you know, for a long time, like I would spend so much time like thinking about that and getting riled up about things and caring about what everyone else is doing. And like, it put me in a really terrible headspace and you don't enjoy anything. And it's like, I don't subscribe to like the secret bullshit or anything like that. Like put it out there.
Yeah.
And you will get it. Cause
I mostly
you know
mock
what?
The secret. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I've been putting it out there for a long time to find a husband to pay my student loans. And look at, I still don't have that yet. So it doesn't work.
I love that. Okay. The baseline is to pay your student loans. oh my God.
But like, I do believe that there is some real truth in how you frame your mind and how, where you choose to spend your energy. And if you get caught up in these things, it's real easy to spin into a really dark place. And I don't want to live my life unhappy. I would rather be happy and appreciative of the things that I have. And that's not to say that I don't have plenty of snark to go along with that, because I do, but it doesn't rule my life. It complements it, and you are in both places.
I think that's incredibly mature.
Oh, do you want to call my mom and tell her that?
Sure. I think I would have a lot to talk about with your mom. I feel I have rejected a lot of stuff since I had kids, and it gets increasingly, and then I think with age too, just like, but I don't put it, I think I have been accused of being naive that way, not knowing enough about what's going on, but truly it is about knowing that I can only handle a certain amount of media or interjections or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And my question back to myself is, does it affect the way I raise the boys, you know, or how I take care of myself? And that directly affects how I take care of the boys, right? So it's all a little tiny loop. And so I found myself watching the news. We talked about this before, just like so tense. And it just doesn't matter. What gets to me from people I love or whatever. And people are always surprised to find out that I don't, you know, don't watch television news.
Well, but television news, to be fair, is that's what they try to do, the zero to outrage. Okay. Yeah. Like, did you see the movie Nightcrawler?
No.
It's in theaters right now.
Yeah. I heard
of it. I saw it, just last week. And, you know, it's an interesting social commentary on that exact thing where, you know, these camera guys are going out and trying to shoot like accidents and people dying and crimes and stuff, and selling it to news so they can use those as lead-ins to, you know, get ratings and numbers, because that's what news is. Network news is not news. That is not news. Does it matter that the 4-year-old girl, you know, donated her hair to Locks of Love? No, not really. Like, that's a nice thing that she chose to do.
Right.
But does every station in the market need to cover that? And they do? No, that's not news. That's a great little story. Wonderful.
Right.
But
it's not there to balance.
It's not news. That's not news to me. And so to me, like, the only news place that I will watch or listen to is NPR. And PBS NewsHour. Like, though, that's news. That's like, here's what's happening in the world. This is legit.
Things you may want to think. Not, and then I go one step further and I let that stuff trickle down to me.
Yeah, not Pointergate or whatever. You know, that's just ridiculous.
Right. That was another.
Oh my God. So many gates here. Grape gate, Pointer gate.
I know. And I think there's legitimate stuff beneath that. But it was the whole outrage that made me nuts. I was like, we can do this in a way that is productive.
Yeah.
But we can't do this by using the internet to like throw insults back and forth.
No, it was, I will say, I did kind of get a couple giggles out of the Pointer Gate images.
The images were pretty pretty ridiculous. Oh, pretty awesome.
Good. And I didn't watch The Daily Show when they covered it, but I'm sure it was hilarious and wonderful. And
they have pretty good programming over there. Yeah, at the Daily Show. Yeah, they
do at the Comedy Central.
Yeah, so I think that one of the things that came up too when I was thinking about Zero to Outrage is people driving their cars.
Ooh, I get that.
I worry about what a vehicle does to people. I do not understand. I think it's because they have so little to give.
Anyway, zero fucks to give. That's zero, what I say.
Zero fucks given.
So one time I had a really bad situation of road rage that I'm guilty of.
Yeah.
And I think if you know me, I'm a pretty okay person. Like,
you are.
You wouldn't think like, oh, she gets in her really important Hyundai Elantra 2008.
So busy.
Four
important.
Cylinder. I don't even know what that means, but I think so. Front wheel drive. I don't even know. Non-leather interior. That's important. But I had a situation. There was a guy who cut me off twice. And I was like, oh yeah, you want to play, motherfucker? You want to do this? And it was like a 280 merging onto 94. Okay. So on the highway. And he cut me off twice. And I was like, let's do this. And I tailed him all the way from 94 and 280
it's tempting.
To 94 and Highway 61. So like wow. Through St. Paul.
Yeah.
He would switch lanes. I would switch lanes. He would like, I was just like, we were doing this. And yeah. he went to merge onto 61 and that's when I let him go. But I could see him, he like peered around in his car to like look at me. And it was just this little man. And I was like, what are you doing? I mean, like that could have, there's that, what does that do? What does that prove? What is that? But I am very guilty of swearing often in my vehicle at other people. And I just think, you know, people maybe think I'm not the best driver in the world. And that's probably true. But, you know, I maybe get flipped off once a week on the road. But I just think driving also has to do with being aware of your surroundings and being aware of what's happening. And if someone is trying to merge into a lane, like, do you really need to not let them in? Like, really? Like, you're not going to get to this place any faster than anybody else. There's traffic. There's whatever. Do you really have to be a dick and not let someone in merging? Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is, I'm floored by that. It's like those types of people who, you know, like the entitlement on the road. It's like the people who stop at the bottom of an escalator because they don't give a shit about the people who are coming down the escalator behind them. Or like the people that, you know, at the grocery store, they block you in the lane with their damn carts and like could give two fucks about it because no one is aware of what's happening around them. And I feel like sometimes I'm maybe too aware of what my spatial reference is and like, you know, like don't want to be in anybody's way and this, that. So I get really angry when other people don't operate from that same plane, but I have to do a better job of realizing that that's probably like a common theme of life. Like people aren't operating on the same plane you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's like you're solo in the car. You're usually you're transitioning, which I don't think is an easy human thing. Mm-hmm. Like going from one thing to the next. I think we're like 80% of us are really bad at that. I'm really bad at it.
Probably on your phone.
Transitioning stuff. Yeah. And then it's like we have so much input during the day that when we don't, we kind of don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, I think podcasts are good for that. I know that we're recording a podcast. So I see that I'm
adding to the
what I did there. but I think that music and podcasts can help a lot to keep your mind.
Is that like when you active? Ease from the transition from wake to sleep or sleep to wake? I like to listen to Bob Seger.
Really? I love that.
It eases the transition.
Yeah. I mean, anything you can do to ease transitions. I feel like we just
tonight.
And maybe
who needs tomorrow? Let's make it last.
Like wow, that, you know? Really like Let's that. Make. I can tell you went into a good different
transition
zone.
Song. It's a good transition
Seeger
song.
Seeger zone. With Jen Shah.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good idea. It would just be Bob Seeger like the whole time.
Yeah. You and Bob.
This is like the same song over and over and over again.
Like it.
But yeah.
Write it down.
Using transitions, though, that's a valid point.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't drive a lot, so I shouldn't maybe even speak on the subject.
Ooh, girl.
I know. I'm so lucky. I know. I really do.
Yeah, I hate it. I'm an aggressive driver. I know this.
Should transition to being an assertive driver.
Yeah, I feel like I always have to warn people when they get in the car with me for the first time. I'm like, just so you know, but I got it covered. Put your seatbelt on.
I think that you did warn me when you picked me up.
I did, probably.
That like, our first special date.
Yeah, probably. Because I've heard it so many times and I understand. And I have a few speeding tickets, so I get it. But what was I going to tell you? Something. Oh, I lost it.
Beep, beep.
Oh, I know. This is what it was. I don't play this game often, but when it was at its height, you know, probably 10 years ago or something, Grand Theft Auto, you know?
Yeah.
We used to play that with my friends because I'm a woman of many facets and nice. Many layers. And I remember like getting on in my car after driving that, and I always thought, oh, I feel like I'm still in the video game, like on the highway driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drive real bad. And but then I thought, well, maybe someone's going to see me navigating this amazing, at the time I had a red Chevy S10 pickup truck, two-seater, okay? Mm-hmm. Like a real muscle car, and I'm being sarcastic saying that. But I thought, maybe someone's going to see me navigating this road so aggressively, and they're going to say, you know what that girl should do? She should be a race car driver. Just like when you sing in your car and you think maybe someone's going to discover you.
Wow.
No one thinks that way, and it's just me.
I think that everyone thinks they're a good driver. I think that's my theory.
Yeah.
I'm a great driver, said every driver ever. Mm. As little as I like that format of quotation. Yep. It's true. And
We should make a t-shirt that says that I'm a good driver.
I'm a good driver.
I bet we could sell that on Etsy or some shit.
I like it.
I think I'm a good driver. Maybe that's what it should be.
I love that reflection on oneself. I love it a lot.
I think there's potential. That's short for potential.
Oh, thanks for letting me know about that.
All right, zero to outrage. I feel like I'm still at the zero at the end of this podcast. That's good. Or I don't even know if we're at the end. I see, look, now you're probably outraged because I just said that. Let's go back to zero.
No, there's no chance of that.
Okay.
I remember one time when I was really upset about something. I can't remember what it was. And Kyle, my partner, said, it's so fun to see you rattled. Nothing rattles you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was a good awareness moment for me to be like, not more rattled more often, but to that I didn't have to keep it all together all the time. But I love that. Mm-hmm. Not a lot rattles me. I think it's because I've been through a lot of hard stuff. So I really have a handle
perspective.
What's important and what's really not. I think that's mostly it. I feel like the zero to outrage stuff is the same as people being really, really hungry.
Ooh, hangry.
It's like the same like emotion, right? Like you just like rah, say it. So they have that t-shirt that says, forgive me for what I said when I was hungry.
But you know, hangry, that's a real term.
Yeah, it's a real thing, right? Yeah. I mean, it's actually like a chemical thing.
I get hangry. Yeah, absolutely. And then you just like, just let me have a cheeseburger right now. Okay, like it's going to be all right.
It's going to be all right.
Just let me.
If I can just have some.
I just need some meat products. Some
red meat.
Yeah,
some carbs.
Sometimes you feel your fangs come out.
Yeah.
And you want to eat the red meat.
So keep yourself fed, folks.
Don't be a dick on the road.
Don't be a dick on the road. And look up a recipe for grape salad in the Hibbing Annual.
And just make it. Cookbook. You might like it. You might like it. And then this whole thing is going to be so stupid.
Oh my gosh, grape salad? What's that?
Let's
find a recipe.
Jesus Christ on a cross.
I've been bringing a pan of bars for years.
Coffee and bars.
Oh.
Help yourself to some coffee and bars.
Sounds really nice.
I feel like this is delicious dish now all of a sudden.
We could do that too. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Thank you everybody for joining us. You're the best.
You are the best.
You're the best. This is Jen, and you can find me on the Twitter at Jen Schall, and that's two N's, two A's, one L. Otherwise, on the internet at jenschall.com.
Nice. This is Kate. You can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate. You can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, we're on iTunes. Take a moment to rate us there. We'll make you cookies.
Well, you will. I won't because I don't know how to bake.
Okay, I'll make you cookies.
I'll supervise that.
Super.
Awesome.
I like it. XOXO.
JK.
Who needs tomorrow? We've got tonight.